Well, that's putting it nicely, JB. Thanks to Channel 7 last night for that audio. But it was a dead set clinic at Marvel Stadium last night as Richmond decided that they would show the world that they are still the one to beat in the AFL. 86-point drubbing of the Saints. Fair questions coming out of their world, I imagine, today. The review might be a pretty hostile one. I wonder if Brent Harvey would like to sit in on that as the AFL Games record holder. He's seen it all in the game and I'm sure gone through a few of those reviews in his time. Boomer, good morning.
And good morning, boys. Yes, no, I don't want to sit in there, to be honest with you. It's not a great place when you're when you've had a bad loss like that and you've got to sit through something and watch yourself, first of all, on the vision from behind the goals, because there is no hiding. Daniel, once upon a time, Roman, when we first started, there was a lot of hiding. You can do whatever you want. Sit in the forward pocket and not chase.
Yes.
By the end of it, if you sat there, the behind the goals vision would get you. And there was no hiding, so it's going to be an interesting week for St Kilda.
As soon as they got the behind-the-goals vision,
it's all over.
The game changed.
It was a game changer, wasn't it?
And then the worst one was when they started filming training. That was bad.
With every angle. Now, we've got three angles at training now at North Melbourne.
Yeah, and I know they do it now.
Behind the goals, and then they highlight it on a Wednesday afternoon when you're that sore it's not funny that you didn't chase one of the young kids.
Yeah.
You're like, come on, mate.
Used to do end-to-end drills a lot, so you'd sort of stand around near the point post and just not do a lot, but they're gone those days.
It's funny you say that.
Because GPS units in there.
That's no good.
For every single session. They have GPSs in for stationary sessions. That's
what?
Yeah, they do. They go out and have 15 handballs and they have a GPS on. You can count your six steps that you take. So it's a good question because a lot of people say to me what it was the biggest shift from when you started to when you finished. And I don't often say that, but that is a massive shift, the behind-the-goals vision of AFL football.
Yeah. Huge.
Never thought about it, but just reminded me just then that's a huge change for everybody.
Yeah, no, it was a big change because it wasn't only training, but it was analyst, it was opposition, it was media, like
everything.
Getting access to it to analyse every single moment of every contest, every game.
But that
all
was
over the ground, not just the in frame, that in the TV frame, so the whole thing.
Yeah, so the people that don't really can get what it looks like. Think of a PlayStation game from elevated above where you can see every player on the field.
Yep.
It's exactly what it's like.
That's when defense in football shifted.
Yes.
Behind it, because you could see your layers.
Yep.
So if it got past that layer, well, what's our next layer?
Yep.
So
were there times when any of you saw something in a review that shocked you, that you didn't realise you had done or that you didn't realise you hadn't done? Or was it always, I've been caught here?
No, you're always learning. You're always learning. And you think you're not lazy, but sometimes when you've had four or five efforts and you just can't go. And when we talk about team defence, they talk about the 18 players on the field. So if you're in the forward pocket at a contest and you don't leave it and the opposition take the ball full length of the ground, it might just be that you're out of place by 30 metres and you think, gee, that's not hard. I could easily get there. So it was a great learning tool, but it was a hard learning tool at the same time.
There were a couple of times when I didn't realise that a player had just run past me because you just don't turn your head. So if you turn your head slightly, you'll see that player go past. That player goes past, he gets the ball, and then it's the chain reaction up the field and what that causes.
So do you then get an opportunity to explain yourself in a review to give a reason, or is it, I don't want to hear about it, I've seen it, bad luck.
You know what the best thing to do is? Yeah. Yep, fair enough.
Yep.
Put your hand up.
Got that. Yeah.
You argue, it opens up a whole different can of worms.
And the vision doesn't let you argue anyway. Even if you say I've been to five contests, I'm actually can't go. Okay, we should be off the ground then.
Because what happens in the coach's back pocket, if you don't acknowledge that and say, yep, you're right, he might have four or five other examples in there and you'll be horribly embarrassed.
So what would you do, Boomer, with St Kilda? I know that you guys have got your own problems down at North Melbourne, but what's changed at St Kilda from this year to last year, from round one to round five?
So St Kilda are inconsistent for me. I think everybody could put their hand up right now and say that they're inconsistent. What are they? Beat GWS by 8 points. Melbourne beat them by 18. Essendon, 75. Beat West Coast by 20, and then Richmond by 86. So inconsistency to me, if I said why a team's inconsistency, what would you say, Whitey?
Oh, I'd say it's either attitude or personnel.
So youth, I would think youth as well.
Yep.
Where would they rate in, if you did their list, where would they rate right now, oldest to youngest?
St Kilda?
Yep.
No, they're old.
They're the oldest.
Yeah.
They're the oldest list in the competition right at the minute. But you don't think that because I think straight away inconsistency becomes is youth. Yes, they got some young players in there, but that's – so it's a tough one. It's a really tough one for me. we don't have to complicate our game too much. Last night, they got belted in clearances. That's it. I think it might have been 20-2 at one stage. Ended up being minus 16 down and minus 31 inside 50s. If you don't win the clearance, you don't go forward. The opposition go forward. So for me, we don't have to complicate the game too much. They got belted inside and Richmond took advantage of that.
I think it's just what we're talking about. It's time to probably embarrass some of those guys with footage and show them what they're actually doing. We spoke, Boomer, earlier this morning about those players are simply leaving the contest before the ball's won.
Yep.
So they're guessing. It's Russian roulette. So they're getting ahead of the contest and going, you win it, but then get it to me so I can finish it.
And you can do that every now and then if you've got one and a half forward coming up to the stoppage and you know, a Billings type can go, Roddy, I'm going to play a little bit of Russian roulette here. If you're winning the football and you're on top of the contest. But if you're not on top of the contest, like they haven't been or they weren't last night, you can't do it. You've got to hang around. You've got to help out.
But they're not on top of the contest or they're not on top of their running. Yeah. They're not outrunning teams anymore. So I think it, and you said this morning, Harf, it's about now turning this around to go back to hard work. Hard work, you know, roll the sleeves up, get into the contest, play the game differently for a couple of weeks. Yeah, okay, you know how you want to play eventually, but play the game differently in the contest to get your running game going.
No, I totally agree. There is a small out wide. They have got seven of their best 22 out, and Hanbury, Gresham, I know they're out for a long time, but Hanbury, Gresham, Geary, who's the captain, Frawley walks in because they needed a tall defender, Zach Jones, Rowan Marshall, and Ryder. They're two ruckmen, and they both play forward. So they have got a small out, but you'd like to think at AFL level.
Not for your effort, though.
Yeah, no, not for your effort. If seven go out, seven have got to come in, and their effort needs to be absolutely exactly the same. So I know exactly what you're saying. People will say there's a small out, but if you don't win the clearances for me, it's going to be hard to win the game.
1-300-652-927, Saints fans, they're disappointed last night. Let us know. And Brad Hill's obviously been in the crosshairs for a lot of people in the last couple of weeks. Brett Ratton was talking about him last night. Let's have a listen to the coach.
Yeah, it was down tonight. It was down. And, you know, Hilly's a proud person and he'll bounce back. But, at times he had to work harder. And that wasn't just him. So you can't just categorise him because there was a few others in that boat as well.
And I think that last point's important. It wasn't just him, but he is one of the highest paid players on the list and the highest profile as a result of that. He played well last week after a bit of a cook and some coverage in the media, Boomer, and then fell back into old habits last night, it seems, just from watching from afar. What would you do as a leadership player, as a senior player, to try and get him back on track?
That's a tough one because he's such a good player and I think everybody's hard on him because they see what his best is.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
The output is unbelievable when he's up and going. But that also, he's up and going when St Kilda are up and going. He doesn't go and win his own football. He's not an inside mid. So he relies on the guys on the inside, who's the inside mid? Steel, those type of guys to win the football and get it out to him. So when St Kilda are going well, he's outside getting the ball, bouncing the ball up the field. When St Kilda are not doing that and they're getting belted in the clearances, those outside players are easy to tag or not. And he didn't get tagged, but they're easy to negate, so to speak. So he's a byproduct of what happens on the inside, so you can't just blame him.
And just to emphasise that point, when you look at his last 3 weeks against Essendon, he had 16 disposals. Against West Coast, 26 disposals. So that was only last week.
Yep.
And then 10 last night. So it's almost like, as you're saying, if St Kilda's going well on the inside, he's going to be going pretty well.
Yeah, and they want to get the football to him because he's a great user. He penetrates the game, breaks lines. So they do want to get it. You're not winning the ball. Like I mentioned, those clearances. If they don't win it inside, he doesn't get it.
But a holistic view of his year and a half at St Kilda, I still don't think he's been the player that St Kilda thought he'd be.
The thing is, Whitey, when you come over with expectations and put your hand up and say, this is how much I want, there's expectations on you to perform, and you need to do that. As a senior player now, as a premiership player, he needs to bring that leadership, and when he's not doing it, it stands out a little bit more than a young guy not doing it.
Brad generates his ball through run.
Yep.
Through run
which
contest.
Which is work rate.
Yep, which is work rate. And that's where he doubles up possession, so kicks it, gets to the next one. He outruns. That's his one wood.
But you do see games now where wingmen, particularly, if they're on the wrong side, that they are working as hard as anyone, but they can't get the ball because it's not on their side.
No, he's different because he's got a license to go anywhere he wants. Whereas Camden McIntosh, for Richmond, for example, he's one wing. That's it. He does probably the most unrewarded running of any player in the competition. Brad Hill's allowed to go anywhere.
I'd love to play. If I was coming back as a player, I'd love to play on the wing.
Nah.
Would you?
Yeah, no, because that's
which
stoppages.
Wing?
Well, Brad Hill's wing.
not McIntosh's wing.
You go to one side of the stoppage as a defence. This is why Andrew Gaff gets so much of the ball. They tag him, but they won't do nothing around their setups. So he goes defensive cover. His opposition player goes defensive cover. West Coast win it, feed it back. Gaff gets another touch. That's the wing's a great spot when you're up and running.
Well, I'm
if
not
your ruckman's winning.
I'm not putting it past you, Boom. I reckon there's a spot for you. We'll do something about that, I reckon. We can fix that up for you here in the Breakfast Club. What about the Tigers? While we're talking about last night's game, I mean, it was emphatic. Jack's kicked five. The defence played really well. Nathan Broad's playing well, I reckon. He's a good player.
Underrated. He reminds me a lot of Ben Stratton when Hawthorn were going really well.
He's a beauty. You mentioned Camden McIntosh was back in the team last night and had a big impact. Their contest work, Edwards, my
Jack
man.
Jack Graham,
we spoke about before. Cochin had some really big
Lambert had a good game last night.
And then Dusty does his thing sort of forward mid as well. It's sort of hard to predict what happens too far down the track, but are they right in the running again from what you've seen, Boomer?
At the start of the year, I thought they've got to drop off. And then what I've seen, and then last night, no, they're not going to drop off. They're right in the mix. Absolutely they are. I just don't understand why teams keep giving a spare to them. I just don't. It's happened for 5 years now.
It's craziness.
It just keeps happening. Last night, I was watching the telly, and the ball goes in. There's just one Richmond player marked the ball on his chest. I'm just thinking, how? Why? And I'm not a coach, and it's probably why, but Richmond, just play them one-on-one and do not give a spare. You can't have your fifth coming into a contest and leaving Grimes, Vlosten, I know he's not there, but all those players just marking the ball in their chest. That's where they start their run.
There's one last night, stopping on centre wing, broadcast side. And you could see in the field of view of the camera that the Richmond had released their defender, extra defender sitting back and just top of the D50, which means Secure got a number somewhere.
Can I cut you off?
Yep.
How do they release a defender?
Well, now I imagine one of those Saints players must have pushed
come up. Yeah, yep. Exactly.
So they've released, they're happy to hold their six back behind the ball, which means the Saints have got an extra number somewhere.
At the contest,
correct. But so they don't drop one back, they bring it up to the contest and try and outnumber at the contest. But Richmond inevitably win the footy, and then they run straight through the secure defence and get a goal. It was a goal square handball to Lynch, and it's an open goal. They had a free run inside forward 50, so effectively Lynch was free inside forward 50 because secure had pushed up too high from behind the contest. Like it was a debacle from a strategic perspective last
night. And you can have one at stoppage. But if you're not winning the stoppage, like they didn't last night, the clearance, you're playing one short on the field.
But it goes back to the Hawthorn days where they almost let the opposition win the stoppage and they just sit back and they will just kick it to us and then we'll control it from there.
Because
it was Geelong too.
Yeah, Geelong did
in the Bartell era.
Absolutely.
The game for a long time has been played on turnover. Like scores from turnover are
huge.
That's huge.
That's where you win.
Yeah, that's where you win the game. So Richmond have worked it out. Vlosten will come back into the team. He's one of the best interceptors. But one of the players that's underrated that needs to be sat on for Richmond is Jaden Short. Week in, week out, he sits back, okay? So they create the extra in their defence. Short then comes off his man, so Richmond win the ball. Short then wins, then gets the ball through handball receive. And he's a beautiful kick of the ball. Beautiful kick. So
and they love getting the ball into his hand, and Hooley, obviously, as well. They just give the football
short to is a long kick.
Long kick. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Short, long.
So with 21-1, second and third quarters, 21-1 with the clearance numbers. Here so it's probably one of the reasons why St Kilda were bringing that extra number up to try and do something about it. But
then you're playing into the hands.
I reckon after 10-0, you might start to
worry about that too. That's unheard of.
No, that's
that is absolutely unheard of.
Left field.
But this is the thing, though, isn't it? That at quarter time, St Kilda was in front narrowly.
Yeah.
Early stages of the second quarter, the game trend hadn't changed. But from that burst in the second quarter where Richmond put three or four goals on, it was more the fact that St Kilda couldn't respond. And I just wonder how much of it had to do with the fact that they had the five-day break. Because it would have taken them a fair bit to get back into the game against West Coast. And there was a fair bit of
Richmond
emotion attached to the way. No, I understand that. But you're trying to find a reason for such a capitulation. That was a dramatic capitulation.
Well, that would be, you could investigate that thoroughly, I reckon, if it was a one-off. But we've seen it twice in 3 weeks, or
no,
two and a half times in 3 weeks. So there's some underlying problems there at the Saints at the moment, clearly. Off the SMS, some feedback coming through the morning. Someone needs to tell Brad Hill he doesn't need to be COVID safe with physical distancing when he's on the footy field trying to repay his salary. There's one. It's fairly straight to the point. And then this one, St Kilda. Insipid, gutless, self-centred bunch of wannabes, almost 80 years following this club. That might be the worst I've seen. It's fairly strong as well. off the SMS. Damien Hardwick was talking after the Tigers win. Let's have a listen to the coach.
I thought our pressure was very good. You know, we did prep our players at St Kilda's, you know, the quarter and a half they played against West Coast was some of the best footy you've seen played this year. So we knew we were up for a fight. But we know when we play our best, our pressure is high, our system is good, and it looked that way evident early. I thought we gave away a couple of goals in that first quarter we probably shouldn't have. A couple of contested situations behind the ball weren't ideally great, but the guys got better as the game went on. So, you know, some real positives for us tonight.
Pretty happy coach after a pretty strong performance. Damien Hardwick there, the Tigers going nicely at the moment. I just want to change tack for a second. We were discussing yesterday, Boomer and Rammer, with Brad Johnson about the comments from Nick Riewoldt about the concussion situation and on the back of the Chelsea Randall outcome where she decided to not put her hand up to play this week after being concussed and adhering to the 12-day protocols. Rui was talking that if it was him, and it was a prelim final and the 12-day protocol meant he would miss the grand final, Boomer, that he'd do anything he could to make that change. If he's feeling okay, not stretch it off and all that sort of stuff. If he's feeling okay, that he'd do anything he could to the point where he'd try and get an injunction in the Supreme Court. What was your take on that? What would you do in a similar situation? If you were Chelsea Randall this week, Boomer, what would you do?
So who made that comment? Jack or Nick?
Nick
Riewoldt. I can absolutely see where he's coming from. So I've been knocked out a couple of times playing footy back in the day, and you play the next week.
Yep.
I actually come on in that quarter. but that there was no protocols then. It was just, are you okay? Yep, I'm, yeah, okay. I'm okay. And you come back on.
Yep.
It's a really tough one, Half, because I understand and I work with Lee Adams, who finished his career through the concussion protocols, and I was speaking to him about it the other day, and he said he can absolutely see where they're coming from with it. He thinks it's a great rule, the 12 days. We had Curtis Taylor at Kangaroos. We had 2 6-day breaks. We had to miss 2 games.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
midway through the first week, he actually felt as good as gold. And he said, I could play this week, not a problem at all. But it's a really tough one for me. I haven't been concussed too many times, so I understand how we want to look after people in general and later on in life.
But isn't that the point? It's not necessarily about the here and now. It's about,
yes, absolutely,
having on people's lives.
Absolutely. But if this is a one-off case and you've only been concussed once, is that going to have any ramifications down later on in life? And you're missing a grand final for it. Unfortunately, I'm sitting on the fence because I don't want to say something that I would want to play.
Well, no doubt you want to play.
Absolutely, I want to play.
That's a given. We would all want to play. Anyone who's been in that situation or played elite sport and you've got a grand final on the line,
yep,
they're tough to win, as everyone knows.
Absolutely.
So you would want to. There's no doubt about that. But would you get to the point where you try to challenge the rules of the competition?
If I felt as good as I possibly would if I didn't get concussed, I would look at avenues. I don't know if I'd go Supreme Court, but I would look at avenues to see if there was some sort of loophole I could get back in and play.
What about you, Rammer, as a manager now and dealing with players who have had some challenges, I'm sure, through the journey, but understanding the protocols and the rules and the regulations, but also the temperature of the room, I suppose, in this sort of stuff? What's your take on that?
No, I think the rule is there now for a reason. I don't think they just came up with 12 days willy-nilly. There's a reason why. You know, if you do your hamstring, you're not getting it. You've got to respect the injury for what it is.
Well, I'll try to play with a hammy. Don't worry about that.
The reality.
Boomer would try and play if he had his leg amputated next week.
I get that, but this is.
No, I'm hearing it.
I know what you're saying, but it's now the long term effect is proven. I think so. I feel so sad for Chelsea Randall tomorrow. I feel so sad, but the way she responded and how she responded to that showed true leadership.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
That's why she is the captain of that football club.
But this is the change now, that if you do your hamstring, usually it's a 21-day injury.
Yeah.
If you get concussed, it's now a 12-day injury as a starting point. That's a default position now, that as good as you might feel,
yeah,
that's just the reality of the situation. So, like, it's unlucky if you do a hamstring in a preliminary final. It's unlucky if you get concussed.
I've had a number of the guys that I manage be concussed. Okay, so you always, so the welfare part of the management side is you're constantly checking in.
Yep.
I had one just recently, and to listen to him talk from the night he got concussed to the next morning, to the next day, to the next day, to the next day, it's clear that he wasn't ready to play on that first week.
Mm.
It was clear. Now, he started to run, I think, by the day four or day five or whatever, so he's ticking those boxes, but he was nowhere near ready to play. Played the following week after his, I think it was 14 days when he played, but still it was touch and go.
Yeah.
It is something that has to be respected. Fully understand that. I would want to play in a grand final. You're right, Whitey. It actually made really good sense what you just said in terms of a hammy's 21 days. Concussion is just now 12 days. The only thing I would want to argue is if somebody's been concussed 12 times versus me for the first time, is it the same ramifications going forward and all that sort of stuff?
So I've got one for you, Whitey. Okay, we have the pre-finals bye right at the minute now. Okay? So teams that have played in the... teams that are in the top four, okay? So if they win that first week of the finals, they get the week off. So they've got the pre-finals bye plus the week off. So that's 2 weeks there. So they play one game in 3 weeks. Why don't we look at, potentially, and this is just an idea, having the bye 4 weeks before the end of the season. So you get your run in to the finals. So you've got, so all those teams that are pushing to get in the finals, so you freshen up 4 weeks. So that last month is you have a crack. Then your pre-grand final, your grand final after prelim, just in case, that's when your bye is. So those two teams that are coming into our showcase game, AFLW and the men's, are as fresh as they possibly can be for that grand final. Because you know, half, Boomer, you know, there's corkies, there's ankles, there's sore backs, all that sort of stuff. Get your guys for your showpiece game being as fresh as they possibly can. The NFL do it, I know that, I understand that. Our game, though, the season, it's an absolute marathon.
Mm.
So going into the grand final, our showpiece game that goes all over the world, our players being as fresh as they possibly can be.
Let's get Tony in Geelong's take on all this. G'day, Tony.
Daniel, just yesterday you were saying that the players, like what Nick was saying, he didn't ever leave the stand. It was the players signed a contract with the AFL.
Yep.
Right? Now, the problem, Nick would have a leg to stand on this year because this only came in 2 days before the season started. And dare I say, all those contracts would have been signed, sealed and delivered well before, 2 days before the first game. And from what I heard from Luke Berridge and a couple of other coaches, they weren't ever consulted about it, even though the AFL said they were. And they just landed with it. So this year, I think he'd have a leg to stand on, but beyond that, I don't know.
The coaches were consulted. Luke wasn't in that meeting. I think there were 16 of the 18 coaches that were in that meeting.
But to Tone's point, if you sign a, like my argument yesterday was that you sign a contract to play under conditions
that
of
would
the
have
AFL.
Been inserted into the player rules.
But that, if that's 2 days, but say as Tony was saying,
they can
do AFL, what they like, and you have to play under those rules.
Yep.
So you've actually got no grounds.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Okay, that's interesting. Thank you, Tony, for your call. It's
a great call, but that is now inserted into the player rules.
Hmm. Well, that's what I would have thought.
And you're governed by that.
But whether or not that, because they're sort of almost not backdated, but done prior to the season, there's
media releases from the AFL a couple of times a week. So
lots of times
throughout the season, you'll see, oh, they've changed the rules here, they've changed this, they've changed that. So it does happen through the season. And the public's not aware of it sometimes.
Thank you, Tony. More of your calls after the news, 1-300-652-927. Having a good chat with Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder on the Friday footy preview. We'll have a look at the weekend's action after the break as well. A bit to get through. So we'll do that. Stick around on The Breakfast Club on RSN 927.
He had a different role at Brisbane, so he's got to work out what our way is. But essentially, he's a good footballer and he's got a good footy brain. Uses the ball pretty well, so we see him, you know, over time really fitting in well with what we do. So Shannon going out of the side, Alex is a really good replacement.
That is the voice of West Coast coach Adam Simpson, a former teammate of Brent Harvey, or Pipes, as he's better known around here, on the Friday footy preview, who's joined us to go through the rest of round five games very, very shortly. He's talking about Alex Witherden there too, Simo, so we'll get to that conversation as we look into Friday night footy. By the way, if you haven't registered for the Friday face-off, a chance to win some great prizes,
and have one of the Friday panel represent you on the Friday face-off category, whatever that is tonight. Who's winning?
Well, we're thinking of potentially banning it because Rammer's winning.
He's not just winning. He's dominating.
He's been on fire.
He's undefeated with full points, 16 out of 16.
It still remains quite remarkable. Someone that was hopeless has become
triple-double.
So you were hopeless.
You were hopeless.
When? For 2 years.
For 4 years.
You were nominating Greyhounds at $1.20 that were getting beaten.
That was years ago. Don't talk about the past, mate. It's because you're the loser at the moment.
How's the tipping going?
I'm winning. That's all you need to know.
You could not. That is a lie.
No, it's not a lie.
What?
That is
a death.
Yeah.
It's not a lie.
He's another one that was hopeless at the tipping.
Hopeless at the
years. What's going on here?
I've shifted my focus after dominating the face-off for years. I've shifted my focus to the tipping. Let's have a listen. Sorry, a chat about that game tonight at Optus Stadium in WA. You heard Alex Witherden's feedback from Coach Adam Simpson
still
there.
I can't believe he's not Brisbane.
He's at West Coast.
I know, but how that happened.
It was a trade a while ago now. He comes in with Nathan Vardy, Xavier O'Neill and Zach Langdon. So they've got five outs at the moment, the West Coast, with the Medi sub to be named. Winder, Petrocelli, Jones, Ryan and Hearn. Flying Ryan out hurts me. It hurts my heart just as a spectator wanting to watch this game. And then for the Magpies, Boomer, Darcy Cameron comes in with debutant Finlay McRae. Mark Keane gets another crack as well. Sire. I know a Sire. Every time I read it, I say Sire. Sire out. Cox out. Adams out. Hoskin Elliott managed. That's an interesting one.
Well, it's
a personal
a baby.
Family thing. Yeah.
No, bubba. Yeah,
it's
a bubba. Baby.
Yep.
Well, was that managed? Is there no other category for that?
Well, I don't know. What, baby?
There'd be another category of personal reasons or something.
What has Adams done? I missed that one.
Adams what? With a knee. 10
big
weeks.
One. What have you been doing?
No, I didn't.
Under a rock.
No, you know what?
He was in here the other day.
I did know that, but I just had a... You know, when you have those mind blanks?
That can happen. It happens to me most days between 6 and 8.30, excellent. The big one, if I can be literal, is Mason Cox, the big man who has been omitted by the Magpies. Were you surprised by that, Boomer?
No, I wasn't, because they have to make some sort of change, don't they? Looking...
Like for like with Cameron, so they've...
Yeah, they do. No, I think they need... When you're not going super well, you need to drop someone to make a point, and it looks like Mason Cox, who hasn't been in great form, is that man. Their forward line is interesting, so it is an interesting selection because of this, but we've been speaking about Collingwood's forward line for years now with their unorthodox sort of style. You've got Mason Cox up there, who's the tall.
Yep.
Majacek, who plays... He plays tall, but he's not a tall forward, is he, really?
No.
Compared to all the big guys in the competition. Thomas, who can't really hit the scoreboard. Cox, who hasn't hit the scoreboard. Degoe is a very good player, but hasn't really got into that. You know, I know he's kicked a little bag in one game.
Lee Matthews called him the greatest tease in football.
Yes, so... And of course, Elliott's out injured now as well. So their forward line, that unorthodox forward line, can't hit the scoreboard for me. They're not kicking enough scores to win games, hence why they haven't won games. So the dropping of Mason Cox is actually interesting because of that, because we know that he can come out and potentially kick four, but potential in football half is a dirty word.
Yes.
So
the interesting thing about Mason Cox being dropped is two things for me. One is how well he went in the final last year against West Coast, particularly early in that match, and the criticism around Collingwood's ball movement. And if the ball isn't coming in quickly or coming in well, that's going to make it hard for Mason Cox to actually play well. So that's the sort of against him being dropped. But then for him getting dropped, and Mick McGowan spoke about this yesterday on this station, is the amount of one-on-ones he's actually being beaten at. Not even neutralising, actually being beaten at, would be a concern for Nathan.
And that would be his positioning. Because he started football so late, that's just a positioning thing. So that's something that I continue to work on and will need to continue to work on for his whole career. I've seen it with Magic Dore when he first came down to the football club. Little blokes were out marketing him six times. And it was just like, whoa, it just takes time and time. And I know Collingwood would probably think, well, we haven't got time. He's been here for a number of years now. But he's going to continue to improve in that area.
Rami, you're very quiet here.
Just listening.
What I say
is volcano is about to erupt.
No, volcano. No, not at all. He's kicked six goals. Majacek's kicked eight. Degoe's kicked seven. So he's kicked six goals in four games. He dominated against West Coast in the final last year where McGovern played on him. McGovern couldn't outmark him. So
this is not a smart-ass question. Do you manage him?
Yeah. I was surprised. I was surprised that he... I didn't think he was their worst player by any stretch. Clearly, what Nathan Buckley and his coaching, they're going a different path. But bringing in Darcy Cameron's not a forward. So I don't think you're going to see Darcy Cameron
He's
play
He's a tall
forward.
Player that plays in the forward line.
He'll be playing forward. Well, he'll play forward tonight. Will he play forward tonight?
I don't think so.
Where will he play then?
He'll play ruck. He'll just be a second ruck.
What does Brody do?
Brody may play forward.
Come off it. Come off it. Don't move against Nat Nui.
Not against Nat Nui.
Well, hang on a minute. Against Nat Nui last year, in that critical last passage of play, Darcy Cameron was in the ruck, not Brody Grundy.
Off the SMS, let's drop a 7-foot tall guy in perfect conditions versus the team he does well against.
Yeah.
Hearn out as well. Pies have to be the dumbest club going around. If Pies had decent crummers and brains, they'd be dangerous. H from Ship.
But West Coast are vulnerable in this game. They haven't got Yo, they haven't got Chewy in the midfield, they haven't got Hearn in defence, and they haven't got Ryan in the forward line.
That's true.
So Collingwood is getting West Coast at a good time, who capitulated under Collingwood's heat in the second half last week.
St Kilda.
So this is... There's been a lot of commentary around Collingwood because they were poor against the Giants. This is set up for Collingwood, backs against the wall, on the road, all this sort of thing. They beat them in the final last year over in the West, so they know the template to beat them. I find this game very, very interesting.
I would buy much more into that had what happened to the West Coast last week not happened. Had they continued on their merry way and St Kilda like they did, I'd certainly subscribe more to backs to the wall. Pies are a big chance here, but I reckon the way they played, finished that half of football that and lost that game, there'd be some stinging rebukes coming from Adam Simpson to his players this week.
I agree with you half on that 100%, but the correlation around Luke Shuey playing versus not playing is really significant with West Coast in that midfield.
If you do not move the ball quickly against West Coast, you won't win. Okay, so Shepherd, McGovern, Barras, and Nelson now are very good intercept players. Okay, so Collingwood right at the moment are not moving the ball quickly. They're not taking any risk with their disposal.
Yep,
that's what where they became unstuck last week. Yep, it was wet and a cold night against the Giants, but they were predictable. When Collingwood are predictable, when most teams are predictable, they're easy to play against. So if Collingwood aren't prepared to take a risk early in this game, particularly over in Perth, there'll be no chance.
I agree, but they did do it last year.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But who was the one that kicked the goals in the first half, first quarter?
I think anyone could have kicked the goals.
I would have thought so. They'll contest the marks. But anyway, let's not talk about it.
The volcano.
Here it comes.
Bumping along here.
West Coast are notoriously not super quick, and you take Liam Ryan and Petrocelli out in the forward half. That takes a lot of speed out of their game. So it's going to be interesting. And Adams out is huge. Greenwood comes in. Who does he go to? Does he go to Gaff or does he go to Kelly?
And that's the issue with Adams. You're talking about Shuey out. Well, Adams out. He's obviously...
Has to go to Tim Kelly, Greenwood.
Goes inside.
Has to.
And he has to tag.
Has to.
Levi Greenwood comes into Collingwood's team. He needs to tag.
Well, that's the only that's the only mid that's probably going to beat you, I would say, Kelly.
Yep. Sheed's a good player, but
Kelly's the damaging.
Yeah, he's the damaging one. He's the one that can kick a couple of goals.
Yep.
He can have 8 inside 50s, so he's the one you need to go to. Agree.
Righto. Good conversation about that game. Who wins?
West Coast.
Oh, over there.
West Coast.
have we got some numbers?
If Collingwood hadn't played as badly as they did against the Giants, I'd tip Collingwood.
What? You're not getting any numbers, mate.
For the tipping competition I'm talking about. You're in front, so we can't have numbers now.
Do it purely on what you feel. Don't worry about the scoreboard. Play the game that's in front of you, Boomer.
I feel
process,
that,
not outcome.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I feel that the home ground advantage could possibly get West Coast over the...
You sound disappointed.
I know, because I don't know who to tip. West Coast.
West Coast for you. Rammer, who wins?
Calling West Coast.
You're going to go calling.
I might change that later, because I can.
No, you can't.
I can on the app.
No. You said it on the app.
It's on air, mate. It's on air.
But if I change it on the app,
it's in
before the game.
I won't cop that.
Because I know the user app and you don't want
it. Daniel, take control here, mate.
Anything after this is inadmissible.
Yeah, take control.
I'm West Coast as well. I think West Coast will play strongly. We'll expect a good performance from the Pies, but I think West Coast will win this game.
Four-goal head start, pretty much, for the line. That's not a bad bet for
I'd be looking at that if I was playing that game. Absolutely. If I was allowed to, can't do that, of course. 19 past 8, we'll get to a break, come back and have a look at some of the other key games in round 5. Go through the tips for the remaining games as well. And the Friday face-off is just around the corner. If you haven't registered for that, silly Billy, you need to do that. rsn.net.au, get involved in some great prizes and some shenanigans along the way. Rammer is the reigning champ. You got a category for us?
Disposals.
Total disposals.
Yes, love that.
Straight up.
Right, no, West Coast Collingwood total disposals on the Friday.
Give Whitey a chance.
A little bit later on. Back with
Victoria's own Breakfast Club.
Certainly is. Don't forget Malcolm Felgate with Racing Pulse coming up at around about 8:30 this morning. Michael Sharkey, or Mick Sharkey, not Michael. Maisie called him Michael twice this morning. Caught me off guard. Mick Sharkey, the great shark man, is going to tip the card, they reckon. So make sure you tune in for that for the Friday Form Focus from 9 o'clock. But we're going to get through a couple of other key games this weekend. If we look through the games on Saturday, Sydney and the Giants is a good game. The derby up there. Carlton Port Adelaide's interesting. Brisbane, Essendon, you got the Danaher factor. Which one of those catches your eye, Boomer?
Yeah, I don't mind Essendon Brisbane. I think the Danaher factor actually does come into it. I think Brisbane have started the year very, very slowly and not the way they would have wanted to. And Essendon are hot and cold. So we've seen what they can dish up on their good day. I'm actually really interested in that game.
I like the Giants-Sydney game. I want to see if the Giants, what they served last week is real or was just a response from a flat couple of weeks.
Well, they'll get tested. That's what we'll know. It's a good test for the Giants because we know that Sydney have been outstanding in the first month. Now, whether or not that is going to be sustainable long-term with a young group is going to be
they'll have a down period.
They'll have their troughs, you would think.
And curious why you wouldn't have put Geelong and Kangaroos in that category of interesting games.
Well,
for me to choose from.
Well, because that would be a Sunday game. We hadn't got to that point.
That's probably a good point.
So just keep your little kangaroo knickers over there out of a knot, can you? Just give me a chance to get through. Because the Brisbane, it's a huge game for Brisbane. People talk about Essendon and their challenges this year, but it's about expectation, as we've talked about through the year. And there's not a hell of a lot expected of the Bombers with this new evolution of that team. But the Brisbane Lions have got heaps of expectation. They've been ordinary.
They've won one game out of four by a point.
Three games in a row in Victoria against three teams that.
No, this is a team that we think could win the premiership, though.
You've got to win. Contender. Are you giving them
last year out? At the end of the season?
By Brisbane, absolutely.
Giving them an out for playing Victoria.
3 weeks in a row, definitely.
What? No. Adam,
gee.
Come on.
Adam, gee whiz.
They played Geelong in Geelong.
Anytime, anywhere.
They played Geelong in Geelong and lost by a point.
They beat
Collingwood, and then they lost to the Bulldogs in conditions that don't really suit them.
It's an outdoor
game. The Bulldogs are almost a premiership.
They're just excuses.
And Sydney in Brisbane.
Well, that was the banana skin game, wasn't it? And it was the first game of the season. No, they're going fine.
Banana skin game.
Well, they what, four, one and one three. They're going fine.
They're going fine. Righto, just checking. Oh, Sunday. Which one catches your eye on Sunday, Boomer?
Oh, Kangas, Geelong, surely. Head down the highway and have a look at this one. It's going to be a ripper. See if we can respond, which we will.
It's actually an entertaining afternoon Sunday. Adelaide Freo is going to be interesting. Hawthorn probably won't be able to stop Melbourne, but see how they go. And then you get the Cats and your boys.
Jeez, you're easily pleased. They didn't look too good to me.
Oh, Adelaide Freo will be good. Yeah, be a good contest.
Yeah, if you like Adelaide or Freo, yep.
It's got nothing to do with who you like. It's about the even teams playing each other. You blokes, Finnegan. You just hate footy. If it hasn't got Essendon in because you're propaganda boys, it's not a great game of footy. Let's get through the tips, you losers. Bulldogs and Gold Coast is tomorrow at 4:35 at Mayo Stadium. Boomer?
Bulldogs.
Anyone going for the Gold Coast? How about I just ask that?
No.
Right. Oh, what are you disappointed, Boomer?
I'm only two behind you in the tipping as well.
Mate, you're a long way behind.
Two.
You're a lifetime behind. The Sydney Swans and the GWS Giants in their very sexy black outfit. SCG tomorrow, 4:35, same time as the Bulldogs Suns games. Rammer.
Swans.
Boomer.
Yep, Swans.
Sydney.
Sydney for me in that one. Carlton hosts Port Adelaide at the MCG tomorrow at 7:25. Check your local guides, Whitey.
No, definitely Port Adelaide for me.
Port.
Port have lost their run. I'll take Carlton.
Ooh. There's one I got.
I'm taking the Baggers as well.
Yes.
give you knuckles there. Come on, knuckle.
Bordering on bias tipping.
So every tip is last at the moment. He's leading.
Yeah, that's what he does.
He's leading it and he's watching
this
us.
This is what he does.
Tip. So you tip, you for the rest of these tips, you tip first.
No. It's only round five, Raymond. Don't worry about
it's
it.
It's round five.
We'll get him.
You're worried about scoreboard.
Tip first. It'll be six down by
So I think you'll find one of the reasons I am in front is because I tipped Carlton last week too, where you losers didn't. So just learn, listen and learn. Brisbane and Essendon is the next game at the Gabba. I'm tipping the Lions. There you go. Losers, who do you want to go, Adam? What?
Brisbane.
Ramo?
Ooh, Brisbane.
Yeah, I'll go with the group. I'll
copycats,
go with the Lions.
Just copycats is all you are. That's clearly all you are. Let's have a look at Adelaide and Fremantle at the Adelaide Oval on Sunday, 1:10.
Crows.
This is the most difficult one.
Oh, so all of a sudden it's an interesting game.
Well, no, it's interesting.
All of a sudden it's an interesting game. There we go. All of a sudden, it's an interesting game. Who would have thought? Who are you tipping?
Adelaide.
I'm tipping the Adelaide Crows. Hawthorn hosting the D's at the MCG on Sunday, 3:20. I think Melbourne will win this, Rammer.
Comfortably.
Yep.
They're my certainty of the...
We're still doing that. We're all out.
We're all out again.
I thought I had a chance because I gave you boys a chance in round one.
Yeah, but we all got it.
Yeah, no, we're all out twice now, so it's no good.
Can I sort of do it myself?
Sometimes you go, you know what? That's just not a good game.
Can I do it myself?
You can do it yourself.
Melbourne am I certain.
Okay, Rama has got Melbourne as his certainty for the weekend. We'll play that because we're rubbish at it. And the last game is Geelong and North Melbourne. Boomer, you're going for the Kangas?
Of course. I reckon we're a big chance. That could be my certainty.
Okay, righto. Stand by for that.
Cats.
Come on.
I'm just asking.
Cats.
Righto. Cats for me as well.
What do you have to say that for, though? Like, why add that for?
Cats for me as well. Jono's gone for Richmond last night. Brad Johnson, of course. West Coast, Bulldogs, Sydney, Port, Brisbane. Frio he's gone for. Melbourne and Geelong. So there's only one real different one there for Jono with Frio in Adelaide. Let's get to the Friday face-off.
The Breakfast Club's face-off for Riviera's in Port Melbourne for simply sensational seafood dining. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming.
$100 Ribera's voucher coming your way and $100 Batoki hamper as well. If you can win the Friday face-off, register at the website rsn.net.au. The panel will play for you in a category on the Friday night game. And that category tonight is...
Disposals.
Total disposals for West Coast and Collingwood. Boomer,
nice.
You haven't got anywhere near it yet. Well, let's be honest, none of us have because Rem has swept the whole month so far.
Mm.
Who gets the most disposals tonight? You are playing for Graham Ventress from Gosnells.
This is very interesting, this one, because we've just been talking off air who's going to go to who, and we're thinking there's a couple of matchups. I'm thinking not Kelly. Pendlebury needs a big game. Sidebottom normally gets sat on against the Eagles.
Does.
I'm going to go with Sheed.
Righto. Dom Sheed for Boomer. It's another loss for him.
You go next.
No, we go in order. We don't break the rules. We go in order. Peter Bowman from Buninyong, you're playing for Whitey.
I'm going to go with Andrew Gaff. I'm going to have faith in Andrew Gaff.
That won't happen.
I was going to go someone else, but I'm going to go Gaff.
Righto. Gaff for Whitey. I get to play for John Seary from Dingley Village. Good luck to you, John. Hope it goes well. I reckon it might be a night that Jack Crisp gets it done. For the Magpies. Hopefully Jack can get the points for us and we can get on the board for season 2021. Rammer, you are the all-conquering man when it comes to the Friday face-off. A perfect 16 from 16 in 4 weeks. You're playing for John Freeborn from Glenroy.
Sidebottom or Pendlebury?
Well, no, you get one, mate.
I'm just considering. I'll take Steel Sidebottom.
Yes.
Steel Sidebottom.
They always tag him. They tag him in the ground. He had six possessions or whatever it was.
He's not playing Mark Hutchings.
That's a good call. They'll go after him. He's very, very important to
them. Might go after him. You might be right.
Who with?
You might be right. Doesn't matter who with, mate.
Nat and Nui.
All right. That's the Friday face-off. Boomer, you played last week. Had the body pull up?
Yeah, a little bit sore on the Sunday. Had to turn up and do the running for the Kangas, obviously. Ran a little bit of soreness out. Ready to go again this week, though, half.
Nice. Who are you playing?
We play Northcote Park Twilight game.
Oh, nice.
Yes. 4:10 start. Had a built Bill Laurie Oval.
What beautiful oval.
Cannot wait, actually.
Just starting late so you can watch the AFLW Grand Finals, yes. Like the AFL.
Correct.
Late start. That's right. Who wins the AFLW Grand Final, Whitey?
Not sure.
Well, who wins? There's two teams, Adelaide or Brisbane?
Brisbane.
Adelaide.
Remmer?
Adelaide, and Aaron will be a three-time, what's the or Norm Smith medal equivalent.
Yeah,
best it's just on, best on ground,
no,
isn't
no
it?
Name just yet.
No, it'll be the Aaron Phillips medal soon, which yeah, retires.
If she gets three, it will be. I've got a sneaking suspicion. I think Brisbane will win. I think Craig Starcevich will get his girls up and about. They are tough as teak.
My second choice is Ebony Marinol.
Right,
the medal. She was very good last
She'll
week.
She'll get tagged by Cathy's Fark. So good luck
not
to
like
those girls.
Not like you.
It'll be a great game of footy and a great weekend of footy as well. We'll be back Monday morning from 6 a.m. to talk about that and a whole lot more. Have a great weekend. Michael Felgate is ready on Racing Pulse.